Well, happy new year and welcome to a special live Q&A with our Sheffield United writers, Danny Hall and James Shield. We're live on Facebook and Twitter, so if you're watching on Facebook, you can drop us a question and we'll do our best to get you a comprehensive answer. James, let's just go straight into it. Obviously, January is here. What is the state of play as you understand it at Bramall Lane?
Well, the state of play is they're obviously looking for reinforcements, centre-half being a top priority. Hence the interest in Fleetwood's James Hill, but I think it's been pretty much well documented that the majority of the work going on at Sheffield United this month will be in terms of reprofiling and probably trimming the squad. It's very top heavy on strikers, as everybody knows. That's something that needs rectifying. Those imbalances within the playing staff need rectifying. And they probably need to be done when you look at the financial situation before they can begin reshaping other areas. So it's going to be, I think, probably quite an interesting time. I don't think it's going to be the busiest window in terms of incomings, but I think there will be a few outgoings, and doubtless we'll get onto some of those shortly.
Danny, in terms of previously under Slavisa, obviously there was a lot of talk about him wanting to bring in wingers. As soon as he could, he wanted to bring someone in the summer. That seems to have gone a bit quiet since Heckenbottom come in. Do you think wide players are still going to be sort of on the wish list?
Probably not in the immediate future, I would have thought. I think Slavisa made no secret of the fact that he wanted to go about things a slightly different way, didn't he? I think early on he kind of kept faith with the system that United have played for what seems like an eternity now in that 3-5-2. But I think at the back of his mind, he always had a different way of playing in mind. And, you know, with respect to Ben Osborne and players like that, you know, he was kind of resorting to putting square pegs in round holes, wasn't he? You know, Ben's maybe not the kind of winger that Slavisa had in mind to play as good a job as he did do when he finally got the chance. So I think Paul coming in, I think he's reverted to that 3-5-2 system. I think he knows that, you know, this is a system that United know so well. They've been drilled to play this almost, like I said, since the beginning of time almost, it feels like. You know, to see them playing a different system was quite strange to see, wasn't it? It's quite jarring on the eye. So I would expect other areas to be a priority in January, as James has said. You know, they have, you know, United play three at the back and they have four centre-halves. So, you know, straight away you look at that as a priority position, don't you? A problem position, really, you know, as it just takes one injury or one exceptional circumstance. As we saw at Fulham, when Ben Davies was absent, you know, Jack Robinson comes in and you look at the team sheet and there's no centre-halves there. So suddenly, I know we have, you know, people said before, George Baldock can play there or Andy Stevens can slot in at left centre-half. But like we say, you're playing square pegs in round holes there. So it's no surprise at all that, you know, Paul's looking for another centre-half there, and I think that'll be the priority position in this window.
You can't be slotting round pegs in square holes, or is it square pegs in round holes? I can never quite remember. If you want to be challenging for promotion, that's not what promotion-winning sides do, and that's one of the reasons why I think it's fair to say, listen, some people at the club might beg to differ with me, I think it's fair to say that they're cup doesn't exactly runneth over in terms of money at the moment. So, you know, if they are going to address some of those issues that do need addressing, and they need addressing soon, then they are going to have to let players go. As we said at the top of the show, they've got far too many strikers. And as Danny said, you know, there's just not enough centre-halves there. I don't think wide players, as Danny said, are going to be a particular priority at the minute, if a priority at all. But, you know, there will come a point in the future when I think the only concern I've got at the moment about Sheffield United, you can't have concerns about the results or the performances, but I think it would be a real shame to see a football club almost become a hostage to one system. And I do think there's a danger of that happening. And so wide players are probably going to have to be brought into the football club at some point. But of course, I think they're not going to be quite the same wide players that Slavisa was looking for, because, you know, as Danny said, he was very much wanting to bring in what you would call sort of traditional wingers. I think what we'll see happen under Paul Heckingbottom is bringing in players who are capable of adding width, if you see what I mean. Because otherwise, I think there's a danger of, you know, let's go all the way back to the very start of Chris Wilder's reign. I think there's a danger of getting back into sort of a Ricky Holmes situation whereby, you know, they were playing one way or were looking at playing one way right at the start of Chris's time at the football club. Then, you know, by the time they did actually bring Ricky in, who was a really good player, let's not forget, when he arrived at the football club, I think most of us were quite excited to see him come. But by the time he did, you know, you had a winger playing for a football club that no longer played wingers. So no surprise that he didn't exactly show his best in South Yorkshire. And I think there was probably a time when Ricky was probably sat there wondering, what the hell am I doing here?
And it's ironic, really, that we talk about bringing wingers in. Probably one of the lads in the United squad who's more suited to being a winger is, if we're, you know, by looking at things, is on the verge of leaving and going to Blackburn. Talk about Ollie Burke, you know, his kind of skill set that he has in terms of his ridiculous pace. You know, he's probably more suited to being out there on the wing. But the fact that United don't play with them means he's now surplus to requirements. So, you know, if he was looking at bringing in wingers, I think you could probably look at the squad and go, well, what about that lad there that you're letting leave? So, yeah, I can't see it being a priority. I think there's certainly more pressing areas. And I think it doesn't take a great deal of looking at United's squad to work out where that'll be.
They didn't have enough centre-halves when they were playing with two at the back under Slavisa Jokanović. So they certainly don't have enough now they're playing with three.
James, obviously there's been some talk on Oliver Burke. There's a story in the national media on Sunday. What's your understanding on that situation?
Been plenty of stories on Ollie and our media too, Steve, as well. Blackburn are interested. Tony Mowbray obviously knows Ollie well. Sheffield United, I think, would be prepared to see him leave. It's very difficult when you've got to run a budget to make a case, although Danny's just done it very, you know, very eloquently for keeping Ollie. And I wouldn't disagree with an awful lot of what Danny said there. I think a lot, you know, it's a real shame for Ollie that a lot of people are almost sort of dismissing the talents that he's got now. And he's become a little bit of a figure of fun, really. And I think that's such a shame because, you know, he is such a gifted footballer. The problem is that we've just never seen it. West Brom didn't really see it either. But, you know, listen, you look at the scouting network that Red Bull Leipzig have got. They don't sign fools, you know. So they've looked at Ollie and thought, you know, this is a footballer here. And there is one, but he needs a home. Maybe that home will be at Blackburn Rovers. I don't know. And I think he has been a victim of this. Well, listen, Sheffield United hasn't been the most stable football club, has it, during Ollie Burke's time here? He's played under three different managers already. And I think he's been a victim of that. But Sheffield United, yeah, would look to let him go. Blackburn Rovers are interested. Sheffield United will want a transfer fee for him. He's not one of those players whose contracts are just about to be up. So, you know, this will come down to exactly the same as every other transfer. It will come down to money. But I think it's a deal that Sheffield United won't look to make that difficult, if you see what I mean.
It's a real strange one with Ollie, isn't it? Because
he's a conundrum. He's an absolute enigma.
Yeah. How many times have we said if he could finish, he wouldn't be at Sheffield United? But the problem is for Ollie and for Sheffield United is that, with all due respect, he can't, can he? You know, the chances that we've seen him miss in the Premier League when he just needed that little bit more. Remember, there was one at Brighton, weren't there, when he went through? And he just needed that little bit more composure, a little bit of, and he just don't have it. So, but I can see why, casting the mind back to when United were at Blackburn, I can see him kind of fitting in there because their kind of forward line was absolutely frightening in terms of pace, wasn't it? Do you remember? Mm. They were absolutely swarmed all over Sheffield United, and United simply couldn't cope with him. I know the lad from Leeds, Pervade, I think he's out for a while, isn't he, with injury. So I can see why Blackburn are after him. They'll be, you know, Tony Mowbray will be the latest manager who's thinking maybe I can get something out of him. And if someone does, then it'll be a hell of a signing because he has everything else, doesn't he, apart from that end product.
First question. We are live on Facebook, by the way, so get your questions in if you've got any. Christopher Barton wants to know, are we going to wait until the last transfer deadline, well, transfer day, before we bring in any players through the door like it was in the summer? I guess on the flip side, James, essentially, do you expect any business early in the window?
Well, I think the answer is no, because there's been none so far. I'm sorry, Chris. I know that's probably not the answer that you're going to want to hear. I do think this is going to be another slow window, though. You've got an awful lot of clubs who will have been hit hard by the COVID pandemic. You know, just at the point they probably thought they were getting their finances into shape. You know, we sort of experienced the second wave of that. So I think that's been an issue. That'll be an issue at Sheffield United as well, because there's financial ramifications from that. But I think the other big difficulty is, and I will be fair to the club in this, you know, it's, they don't have the money to be able to go out. They never have had, and very few clubs in England do have the money to be able to go out to a club whose player they want and basically say, there is enough money, do the deal now. It might not suit you to do it now, but we've offered you more money than you can afford to turn down. And I think, when you've seen all of these fixture postponements as well, you know, there will be a lot of managers just wanting to hang on and sort of wait until the end of the window before doing any business. Listen, and I'm going to have a dig at some other football clubs here. You know, Sheffield United have not played a game over the festive and New Year period other than that match at Fulham. They've not played a game because opposition teams, I think, quite obviously in some cases, not so obviously in others, have said that they don't have enough players to fulfill a fixture against them. So I think it's going to be very difficult for some of those managers to make a case now that we can actually get rid of players. And that will be translated, I think, across the divisions that Sheffield United will be looking to buy in. So listen, I hope I'm wrong. There's no guarantees because things can change quickly in transfer windows, and anyone who says they know exactly when a deal is going to be done is probably lying, because very often the people actually who are putting those deals together can't actually give you an exact date when things are going to be done because they're so complex now. But I would suspect the majority of Sheffield United's business is probably going to be done towards the middle or the back end of the window. Yeah.
One player they have been linked with is James Hill, at Fleetwood, defender. Oh. Lewis Gilmore says it looks like he's actually, in fact, now going to Bournemouth. I presume this is going to be a young man who, I think, Real Madrid have been watching him, or one of the Spanish giants. He's going to have a lot of potential suitors, isn't he?
Yeah, he has. I must admit, I take things like that with a pinch of salt. I think as good a player as James is, I can't see him exactly forcing his way into Real Madrid starting 11 at the moment. So I think someone's doing a good job of getting his name out there. But yeah, Bournemouth have opened talks with him. Sheffield United are interested in him. There's a lot of Premier League clubs interested in him. I think there's tactics Sheffield United can use to try and sort of, you know, influence James's thinking. There's an obvious family connection there. His dad, Matt, played for the football club. We'll be going into some of those little tactics Sheffield United can possibly use to try and sway the negotiations in their favour in the newspaper today as well, or on the website, I should say. But, you know, again, this boils down to money. And I think I'm fair to say that the big difficulty Sheffield United have got, when you're talking about Premier League clubs coming in for players like this, they can make a case and say, listen, we can offer you first team football. We can offer you a deal whereby we won't stand you in your way if one of these sides comes in for you at a later date. We saw something like that almost in reverse, you know, when Ryan Brewster came to the football club from Liverpool. But the problem Sheffield United have got now is that Bournemouth can obviously offer him first-team football and regular first-team football. Bournemouth appear to be heading back to the Premier League. Sheffield United may well be, but I think it's fair to say the league table outside of those top three clubs or so, three or four clubs, means absolutely nothing at the moment because the schedule's all over the place. And unfortunately, one of the clubs, Bournemouth, that Sheffield United are competing with, almost offering the same things, they've got more money than Sheffield United. They can pay more. And ultimately, you know, this is a, I'm not referring to James here by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know him personally. But football's a dog business. It's a ruthless business. And money will ultimately decide.
As far as outgoings are concerned, Danny, I know you've done a story this morning on Morgan Gibbs-White returning to Wolves, albeit for some injury treatment rather than permanently.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know Deion Sanderson, who was at Birmingham City, has gone back to Wolves. He's been recalled, as has Ryan Giles, who was impressing and on loan at Cardiff. Yet, you know, Gibbs-White remains at Sheffield United. Any indication as to whether that, you know, may still be the case come the end of the window?
Not officially. No, we asked Paul this last week and he said there's still been no indication from Wolves, but all kind of indications privately that we can ascertain have all been that, you know, he'll be allowed to see out the season at Bramall Lane. That can all depend, you know, that can all change in the instant, can't it, with, as Dave touched on there, the schedule as it stands, you know, if Wolves have a mad injury crisis or suspensions or COVID hits, you know, that can all change in an instant. But I think from what I can gather, Wolves are very happy with Morgan and how he's progressing at Bramall Lane. I think there's something Paul Heckingbottom's been keen to stress as well. As good as Morgan Gibbs-White has been for Sheffield United, I think Sheffield United have been good for him as well. You know, there is a lot of good reason for him to stay at Bramall Lane. You know, it's not a case of Wolves doing Sheffield United a favour. You know, this is in their interest as well, isn't it, to have their player out on loan, playing week in, week out, impressing, starring, and ultimately gaining value. So I think they'll be loved to kind of bring him back and end that, while ever, you know, they're quite well stocked, aren't they, in their attacking department. They're not short of a few good players. So it's something we've said to before as well with United's players, to bring Daniel Jefferson back, Zach Brunt, Kasper Laporta, to bring them back if they're not going to play, what's the point? You know, they're out there playing week in, week out, learning the trade, becoming professional footballers, you know, proper professional footballers in playing games. So to end that with no real good reason would be, you know, there'd be no point in doing that, would there? So while ever Wolves are all right, while ever he'd be sat on their bench or not getting in their team, you know, leaving where he is, obviously, we're buying that because, you know, he's a damn good player, isn't he? And he's a big part of Sheffield United's team. But yeah, all kind of private. You know, everything privately is pointing towards it, hopefully playing for the rest of the season. There's always a chance that, you know, 1 minute to 11 on deadline day that new pops in the inbox that he's been recalled. You know, I think Sheffield United fans are quite within their rights to always fear that, because, you know, it would be quite a Sheffield United thing to happen, wouldn't it? But yeah, all indications so far suggest that he'll be here for the rest of the season, unless something crazy happens. Yeah, if I was Wolves, I'd
say the two guys. This is one reason, though, why Sheffield United have got to reduce their reliance on loans, because I totally agree with you, Danny. Sheffield United have been really good for Morgan Gibbs-White and Wolves. But, you know, let's not beat about the bush here. If Morgan Gibbs-White was recalled, and again, personally, this will probably come back to bite me, everything we're hearing at the moment would suggest that he won't be. But if he was, let's not be honest, it leaves Sheffield United in a real hole, in a desperate hole, because as good as Illiman and Dyer is, you know, Morgan Gibbs-White has been the most influential player, I would say, at Sheffield United this season. The unfortunate thing is, he's not theirs. And we don't want to be having this conversation around every transfer window. Crikey, we got this great player in. Is he going to get recalled? It's no good. Paul Heckingbottom has gone on record towards the end of his spell in caretaker charge last season, saying uncertainty is a terrible thing for a football club. You know, and so people cannot pretend that uncertainty is a great thing now. It's not. And I think there's a couple of things. And one other thing to come out of this is it the very fact that Morgan's gone back now for treatment would suggest that the injury is probably a little bit more serious than was first hoped. Again, I fingers crossed I'm wrong on that, but I suspect he's going to be out. I don't think we're going to see him for, you know, within the next couple of weeks as I've been indicated. But Sheffield United, yeah, listen, it's different when it's one of your players. There's always speculation. I know what people will be saying when they're watching this. Well, there's speculation in every window. But it's a little bit different when it's speculation surrounding one of your own players, a player that you actually own. Because, you know, if they're under a decent contract agreement, you're going to get some money in return for them. So you can almost sort of, you know, preempt the situation by identifying other targets and then using the money that you receive for a player, if indeed they are lured away, to bring in a direct replacement. Sheffield United will not be able to replace Morgan Gibbs-White at this point in time if he's recalled. So they, again, I'll go and say, I don't think he will be, but they do need to sort out this reliance on loans. I've heard it said it's a good thing because it saves money and, you know, it doesn't mean they have to make great financial commitments on very good players. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to have the core of your squad based around loan signings. Loan signings should be brought in to either plug holes within a squad or to bring in one or two embellishments that otherwise you might not be able to afford.
It's the Dean Henderson scenario again, isn't it? As you know, Dino was an unbelievable signing for 2 years, but then every goalkeeper after that came in was always going to be compared to him, wasn't it? So, you know, as you rightly said, James, you know, it's a situation they need to get hold of at some point because, yeah, it's, you know, we're going to be talking about this forever, aren't we? Anytime you can't really win, can you? Either loan signings bomb and nobody wants them, and you don't want them, or they do well. And then you're always looking over your shoulder thinking, oh, what if they go back in January? So
it's not saying don't bring loan signings in, because loan signings, as you've said, Danny, and we've seen in the past, not only at Bramall Lane, but across all of the divisions, can make the difference between success and just mediocrity or even failure. But it's just the fact that so many key positions, so many key players at Sheffield United are at the club on loan that does just worry me a little bit.
Just one final question. Christopher Barton, and this guy, I suppose, would be like a new signing. Any news on Jack O'Connell? James, no news, yeah. It's pretty
common. I mean, listen, Jack's obviously come out and spoken about his year. He said that he hopes to see everybody in 2022. So, you know, fingers crossed we do see him back in action at some point this year. But I don't think with the best of will to Jack that he's a player that Paul Heckingbottom is going to be or is factoring into his thinking for this season.
Well, on that note, I think we'll leave it there for today. Thanks for listening and thanks for all your questions too. We'll be back later in the window as well as tomorrow for our regular podcast, which I think is going to be a half-season review. Take care for now.